Can I have your attention? These beaches are officially closing for today. That means absolutely no more swimming.
No, he doesn't.
Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Michael Catchmar. Welcome to Lifeguards Off Duty with Dr. Michael Catchmar. Today's date is July the 12th, the year of our Lord, 2023 AD. Welcome. Today is, I guess we're in the middle of the summer right now, and this is a lifeguard podcast. We work in the Jersey Shore. We have Tyler, who's putzing around with his phone. What's Tyler, up, what are you wearing now? I like that outfit. That's the Manchester United, huh?
What am I wearing?
Do you like being you?
This is I got a soccer game tonight, so it's all. This is my beat up one, but yeah, this is a classic.
Wow.
I love this kid.
Wow, I like it. It looks nice. We have. Yeah,
I'm actually going to see them play Arsenal.
How we doing, guys?
Well, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Next Saturday.
Where at?
At Giant Stadium. Ooh. It's gonna be sold out. It's gonna be crazy.
Ooh. What time of night? What time of day?
You'll have to talk to my secretary about
probably
that.
Probably be
one.
Pretty hot. It'll probably be.
What day? Wait, what day is next Saturday? Is it the 12th? Oh, damn. Okay, I'm way too far ahead. Yeah. I'm going to a concert in New York on the 12th of August.
I'm hyped. It's going to be cool. My sister's an Arsenal fan. One of my best friends is an Arsenal fan. I'm a Red Sox fan.
I went to a concert.
Why did I say Red Sox? I'm a Man United fan.
You like the Red Sox too.
I do like the Red Sox. I wasn't lying, but it's going to be sweet.
I went to a Giant Stadium last year. Don't remember when it was. It was July or August to see Elton John. It was 90 degrees. It was like 9 o'clock at night, and it was still like 90 degrees. We were melting.
I've heard he puts on a pretty good show.
Oh, it was amazing! It was amazing. It really was. It was amazing. The guy's like in his 70s or late 70s.
And post drug problems.
Right. Like, it was hot as I don't know how it was down on the stage, but after he got done. Singing and really fired up, he would get up and like, not bad for an old geezer, you know. He was like patting himself on the back, which I thought was pretty amazing. It was an amazing show. The video, you know, the projector and everything, and the band, unbelievable. So
my mom went to a concert that I still think sounds like one of the coolest that you could possibly go to. It was a dueling piano set in, I think, MSG of Billy Joel and Elton John.
Oh, wow.
And they were just going song to song, like riff to riff. Just
I heard
were they
that.
Taking requests?
I heard
no,
about
No, but just
that.
like, you know, Billy Joel would play a hit and Elton John would then play like a solo on it and then riff into one of his songs, like just back and forth dueling pianos all night.
Mixed feelings about dueling. I think we've covered that on the show, but I have mixed feelings about dueling pianos.
You never gone to like the Hard Rock in AC and like seen the dueling piano set?
No, I've only seen the dueling pianos at Spicy's.
Oh. So
that might be peppering my opinion a little bit, but I find it corny. I find it to be a form of price gouging. Like how people like start fight. Like I pay $50 for you to play my song and you play it. For 2 seconds, and then some asshole bids like $51, and they're like, "Oh, sorry, we still get to keep your $50."
I see that.
The only thing I could relate to is the dueling banjos on that one movie.
What movie is this? You know, I live for your movie.
What was that movie?
I know
Deliverance. That was a nasty movie.
You ever see
movie.
The Beverly Hillbillies?
Yeah.
My dad loved that movie.
We used to watch it. So let's talk.
Oh, we got some news.
Let's talk about lifeguarding.
This is about lifeguarding.
Okay, so did you guys? Well, I wanted to. You know, you have an itinerary here, but do you have anything about
low,
that
you're
kid?
You're low on the list.
Yeah,
Cash,
well, if you let me get to it.
So why don't you?
I can get to it.
All right, so let's talk some lifeguarding.
Maybe you were an hour late, big guy. We can get to it.
I know. Hey, listen, I'm a physician. I had to do some work.
We got an email today. Our good friend.
Not from the attorneys. No.
From the YouTube attorneys.
The YouTube attorneys.
They're always after us.
Catch is talking about trans people.
Yeah.
So, friend of the podcast, Tim Harmon, put us in touch with a man by the name of Michael Bascom. He is the emergency management coordinator for the Township of Neptune, and he sent us this email regarding the young man who was recovered and in critical condition. What was that, last week?
Friday, last Friday, I believe.
Yeah, so...
I think last Friday.
It's we're sad to say that he didn't make it.
Oh, man.
He opened up the email with that, and then he went into some detail about what happened, and I found the email pretty interesting. So I'll kind of just read the email for
everybody. Yeah, go ahead, Tyler. This is. Can you give a little premise?
And thank you, Michael.
The premise pretty well.
Well, no, but yeah. Did you tell him what happened? Is he drowned?
A kid drowned. He was submerged for what was reported to be 20 minutes. And yeah, he was in critical condition. So
they pulled him out. They found him.
So this is, first of all, thanks, Michael, for reaching out to us. His email states that in this particular situation, the two young men were observed by beachgoers to be in distress. One beachgoer was a former lifeguard and member of our water rescue team. She entered the water and rescued the first victim as others called 911. Upon arrival of PD and the first wave of our water rescue team, she was exiting the water with the first victim, and witnesses provided information, including the description and last seen location of the second victim. As is common, two different last seen locations were provided by witnesses. Our rescue swimmers immediately began a grid search in an area that included both points. Approximately 10 minutes into the search, the victim was located and immediately brought to shore to our awaiting EMS providers, who immediately began resuscitation efforts, which included suction, CPR, AED, Lucas chest compression device, and immediate loading to move from beach to awaiting ambulance. Paramedics were not available when the call was initially dispatched, but arrived as the patient was loaded into our ambulance. Resuscitation efforts continued. There was a return of spontaneous circulation, I guess also known as ROSC.
ROSC.
Prior to transport to the hospital. The answer team responded to the call to move with it, to the call, then...
You
graduated from college, right?
No, it's his wording, not him.
The answer team responded to the call with more than 15 rescue swimmers, certified ocean lifeguards who volunteer for our team, along with a rescue boat. The rescue made before the arrival. I'm not quite sure what that part means. There was a drone involved. The rescue was made as the drone was being deployed. Okay, so he's saying before the boat and the drone got there, the rescue was already made. EMS, command staff, and incoming assistance from the SMART team PWC. That's as close to the true story as we're going to get.
Wow.
Michael, thank you again for your email.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, he said he's willing to talk, so we sent him an email back and invited him on the show next week.
I happened to be riding my bike up there and saw one of the officers. I spoke to him briefly. I don't want to mention his name because, you know, but he's been there for a long time. And he said they actually have film. I guess they have a camera out there, and they saw when he went down. So they got a good time frame. Because this is an interesting case. First of all, I am so proud to be a lifeguard after I hear that. That whole thing was so professional. And by the way, that's an automatic chest compression you were talking about. That's what they had. It's a machine that you put on, and it does the own compression. I can tell you, 30 years, 40 years of lifeguarding, it's very rare to find a body that quick. I mean, that's an amazing thing. That's number one. Number two is, not that it's that uncommon, but, you know, we have women in lifeguarding now, and that was a girl who made the first rescue. I wonder if she had a can or anything. But
I was wondering that too. I don't think she did, judging by what he wrote.
Yeah,
which makes it that much more incredible.
Right. This is an incredible thing all the way. Now he passed, so we're sorry to hear that, and our prayers go out to him and the family. I don't know if he's an organ donor, but you know, it's a tough one. But to think about the all the things that have come together, and they actually. They had a drone ready to go, a boat ready to go. I mean, it's just an amazing set of professional entities and resources that are ready, that they have there. That, you know, years ago, Poltenham probably would have drowned, number one. And number two is this kid would have never even had a chance. At least he had a chance. And so I have nothing but praise. I'm so proud. They represent the best of the best. And I still say this, you know, the Jersey Coast, Jersey Shore, and, you know, Long Island too, we have just as good, if not, I'm not, you know, say best lifeguards in the world, but we go against anybody, and we're seasonal. You know, guys down in Florida are great. The guys in California, and you know, they're full time, and you know, and even up the coast, probably like Carolinas, but we're part time, and we crush it. We have to get things moving. Think about it. We go from, you know, nothing to 90 miles an hour, you know, in May, and we go all the way until September. And we have cold water, we have rough water in June, we have hurricanes to deal with. I think that the lifeguarding profession in New Jersey has come a long way, and it's top notch. Well, you just email that you just read. I mean, that's just, there's nothing in there that I could say, wow, that's just that is way wow. It's so good. And I'm very impressed. You know, I'm glad to be part of the team. And it's unfortunate that all the efforts, you know, didn't make it, but that's in God's hands. I like that they did, and they had suction there. I mean, everything was done right.
Yeah.
And done speedily. Hurrah to those, you know, those lifeguards and that team. So I'm glad that we talked. You want to say something, Sean, about
it? No, I was just trying to, I just found this out. If you or someone that you know needs an ambulance, obviously, like, ambulances cost money, but if you for some reason can get the police to call an ambulance for you, it's completely free. Did you know that?
I didn't.
No.
So
I,
like,
know.
If your friend's projectile vomiting or anything and there's like a police around, having them call the ambulance avoids the fee that goes along with, like, all the treatment.
Right. But also, you could get locked up too. well, whatever you're doing, you know, if you were doing
there's
something,
probably some kind of fraud involved with that.
No. I'm saying if you were throwing up because you were doing drugs.
No,
I'm like,
saying,
I'm making a
I'm
joke.
I'm saying,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
if you're
yeah,
on
no.
the boardwalk and you scrape your foot on the pier or something, and, like, you need stitches, if you call the police.
I don't know about that. I don't know. I tell you what. I think that there's certain diagnoses, but I
no, it's just if they reach out to the ambulances, you don't have to pay for it because it wasn't your decision.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly if it's an emergency. Yeah. Anyway, listen.
That being said, the police probably know that they comes out of the government. Yeah. It's money to pay.
They're probably told, like, not to do that.
Yeah. But just in the off chance.
Not as many words.
Right. I think that with ambulance service, if you have insurance, it's probably covered if it's an emergency, you know.
Oh, look, Sandra's listening.
So.
Your director of tourism thanks you for all you do. We appreciate you.
Hi,
Sandra. We appreciate you.
Thank you for watching. So the so that story, I just...
She's watching on Jersey Shore Foot and Legs.
Oh, good. The on Facebook. This is a great, this story here is tragedy, but it just shows you, I mean, this is after hours, so let's just make sure we understand. This kid went in the water after the lifeguards were gone.
Yeah, and
to
have such a quick response of that kind of magnitude, like, big deal.
And I think that all across the country and other beach patrols and other towns should pick up on this. This is a great system they have. I mean, and they're willing to... talk about it and show
they
other
want to
people.
Share it. Yeah.
Share it. You know, in Seaside, we have the fire department, which is, and the fire department has a subsection, which is the fire rescue, and they do a pretty good job.
And a couple lifeguards and former lifeguards are involved with that as well.
And they go to the surrounding towns, and I tell you, who makes a lot of rescues too? You know, if you think about it, is we have to throw out there after hours. Is surfers make a lot of rescues? They do. I know we got.
I know
tell
you
our
say it all the time, dude.
I know. I love my surfers. Oh, the other thing I talked about. Listen to this. So I talked to one of the senior lifeguards officers in Bradley Beach, where this person drowned. They have ropes that go out. Like, this is Bradley Beach and Avon by the Sea. That section is one of the only places that I know that actually put lines out with buoys where people swim, and they stay out there all the time.
You can grab onto it.
Yeah, and
they used to call that the lifeline. They had that in Atlantic
City. Yeah, and I'm gonna go there in
1910s.
Yeah, I'm gonna go there and take some pictures of it and show everybody and film it. But he says though is that saves a lot of people after hours because they could grab onto it, which I think is pretty interesting.
Yeah, that is a good idea.
I don't know. Yeah, well, they had it years ago. It's a lot of maintenance. That's why I want to talk to them because that thing gets, every time a storm comes in, think about it, we have our buoy.
It gets ripped up. Also,
you know,
you got to be careful about, like, barnacles and stuff of that nature building up on it because then you're dealing with, like, people getting cut by it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what it's attached to on land?
Probably an anchor, probably dug into the ground or a stump or something, you know, some kind of stake. I think outside it's an anchor. It's all of these things I want to talk to him about because this is how all the beach patrols had it. But when you get a storm, I guess they got to pull it in. They must have a mechanism or a way where they could get in and out real quick. I don't think they take it out every night. I think it stays there overnight. Again, I'm going to talk to him about it. It's very intriguing. This is the old school stuff that... you know, it was interesting. I just thought it was interesting that they told me that they think that saves a lot of people from drowning, who you know, during after hours, which I think what happened with this kid is he went beyond that. He got into a run and he went out. It was a calm night, but, you know.
That's literally, like, one of the reasons we started the show is, like, to, like, merge these ideas
that other
people are doing that we don't know about.
I think that after hours is a very important thing. You can't have the lifeguard stay there. I mean, we go, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. We go until 6. I mean, I'm toasted. We used to go until 7.
Yeah.
I mean, how far can you go? You know, you just can't. I mean, it's still. And the thing is, at this time of year, it stays dark, light until, you know, 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the water is 74 degrees now. The air is 90 degrees. Well, on the beach, it's a little bit. It's warmer. It's more like 80. You know, people are gonna stay. We have to throw people out of the water now. I mean, yesterday I worked. There was couple hundred people in water. They didn't want to get out. I mean, they weren't nasty or anything, but they were having a great time. It's warm. It was like a jacuzzi, you know? So it is tough. All right. So what else you got, Tyler? What other news? What other you have? Who else? Is Sean want to take
got,
it?
You got
it? What do you got, Sean?
You have our shared page over there. You want to talk about the development with this Orsted story?
Yeah. So Orsted, the company that is doing the wind farm off our coast, New Jersey.
Now, there's none up yet, so just
there's
so you
none
know.
Up yet.
Well, this is, again, you know, let us yeah, share let us, the news story.
Okay. Oh, I see that. Go ahead.
Lawsuits are holding up the advancement of the offshore wind development.
Sean, put your camera up a little bit. You can't see the top of your head.
Shave those for either. We'll correct that stuff after the show.
We ain't correcting nothing. We're not correcting anything. Go ahead.
So I can read, but I'll bring the paper to me.
All right, go ahead.
Overview of the litigation is Orsted is currently involved in a series of legal disputes that could potentially delay the project. The developer has filed lawsuits against Cape May County and the city of Ocean City, alleging delays in necessary permits. I wonder if these are the two counties that started that petition. I don't know off the top of my head. I'm just speaking out loud. These permits are crucial for conducting test work and installing power cables for the wind farm. Citizen groups opposed to offshore wind are also trying to halt the project through legal appeals. So they're trying to stop them from building more from building the wind farms and, you know, potentially harming.
And I'm guessing what Orsted is trying to do is just bury these citizen groups in legal fees.
Well, here's the thing. Where's the state of New Jersey? Where's the federal government?
Orsted is suing them.
I understand that, but that's little towns. They're, you know, what about the state of New Jersey come down and say, hey.
There's something in there about the federal government. I think if you keep going, I think they're also suing the feds.
The offshore wind project is significant for New Jersey's green energy program. It is endorsed by the federal government as a crucial step in addressing the catastrophic effects of climate change. The project aligns with New Jersey's clean energy targets and economic development goals.
So they're for it then?
As of right now, Murphy hasn't said anything against it, and it's only been a small municipality issue.
I guess according to this, they're dragging their feet on some permits.
Local. And the local people don't want it.
Yeah, and Orsted's getting a little fed up, so.
Right, so here, so I'll give you, one, you know, so good, I'll give you my take on when
no,
you're
go, let's hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's what you got going on.
This was the break. Notes. This was actually the break that we did.
Here's the long and short of it. You know, I'm all for, we talk about being sovereign, and I think everything should generate from local. You know, local people, local us here, should have the determination to the highest degree what happens in our world, in our life. This is the federal government and the state of New Jersey trying to mandate to us that they're going to put these windmills out there and it's the best for us, which the science is not there. When I look at it, you know, windmill and wind technology is great, but it maybe is going to be maybe 16% of your energy. It doesn't work all the time. And what gets me is you're putting them 15 miles out in the ocean. The amount of the environment out there is harsh. And you're going to have cables coming in. You're going to have people maintain these things.
15
these things,
or 50?
A they lot. Want, 50. They, no, 15 a miles ton. Out.
Yeah, okay. No, but they, I think it's 50.
50? I think it's no, 50, you, 50, no,
zero.
No,
I think it's 50 miles.
No, 15 miles. You can't have that. No, and you're going to be able to see them on the horizon.
The Atlantic City ones?
Yeah, you'll see them on the horizon.
I think they're 50.
No. And
I just have to say, Murphy did just recently give Orsted a tax break, allowing the company to retain federal taxes.
Right. They're encouraging. They want to have like 30,000 of these, like ridiculous amount out there.
Do you this is a side thing that might be too off topic, but
all right,
you know,
10 to 20 miles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you know that Belmar is having Verizon towers being built?
Yeah, they're fighting that.
People are so pissed about that.
Yeah, but we'll talk about that. But let me finish this thing here, because I have a you got to understand what you're dealing with here, and you guys are all maybe going to vote on this. This is the federal government going after after the climate stuff. The thing is, if you want to put these windmills, I would say, if you're going to ask me, put them in the marshes down there off Atlantic City. There's tons of marshes. But these
have a few inland on the bay
the,
there.
The amount of the bang for your buck is ridiculous with this. And it's going to destroy the site. You know, when you're going to sit on the beach, you're going to see these things. They're ugly. They're going to be nothing but horror shows. And eventually, they're going to be breaking down. It's going to cost more money to maintain them. If you don't subsidize these, you'll never. They won't make enough money. You won't generate enough power to make enough money to pay for them, mm-hmm. and the maintenance. You know, there's the technology that's out there is nuclear, and this is going off a little tangent, but they have new technology. You could open up these nuclear power plants, small ones all around, and use the spent rods that we have. The other thing with these windmills too, you understand, it's not just generating the energy. You got to distribute it after that. Yeah, that means you're talking about a huge amount of infrastructure to get that to the grid.
This permit issue has got to do with like roads and mm-hmm. them testing mm-hmm. these mm-hmm. Undersea cables that they're going to be using to transport it back to land.
Right, right.
So that's part of the permit dispute.
Now, you know, you have one of the things that's slowing us down is that all these whales and dolphin that were washing up, they think that some of the testing was doing.
There was 56 reported whale deaths from from NOAA, the National Oceanic Administration.
You know how many birds are going to get killed with this thing? Because you have the geese, you know, doing migration up and down. Boats are going to hit these things. It's a disaster. I don't think you're going to get the benefit out of it. And you know who's going to? You know what it is, in my opinion. And again, we're probably going to get thrown off of this, but you know, this is just this big company who's making all the money.
That's the one thing
it's a big money grab.
Yeah, it's some private Swedish company that's not even affiliated with their government. It's just like a private organization making money off of that.
Who's on the board of directors? Who's on the board of Sweden's board? But I'd like to find out who's
the Orsted. Probably some like Swedish guy's name I can't pronounce. I have
a picture.
I'm very sure there's local there's politicians in this country. You know,
that are on the Orsted board.
I bet you $1 million. Go ahead.
I have a picture on my camera from the day that a whale washed up on C Street. A female whale washed up on C Street in Seaside Park, and Sean and I went up there, and we were just talking to the locals. Nobody wanted to talk on camera because of how quote unquote political this issue has become. But I have a photo of the whale, and then way in the background, you see this. I think it's like an orange ship with a crane on it.
Yeah.
And out there for it a long looks, time. I couldn't confirm it. Like I was like doing all like the internet sleuthing, trying to figure out exactly what ship this was. I was looking at shipping trackers online and all that. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't find it, but it looks just like one of those Orsted survey ships.
Oh yeah, they were out there. There was a lot of them out there.
Have it in the frame with the dead whale in front of it. I'm gonna find that picture so I can share it.
You got to understand something. 8 miles out from Seaside Heights, you have shipping lanes for the ships that go into New York City and Newark. It's one of the biggest shipping lanes in the world, and you have hundreds of ships in and out. Now, of course, they're going to go down, they're going to turn, but they're going close to that stuff. You know, you have private people fishing, and it's going to create a hazard for navigation. It's going to pollute. Those things leak oil. You know, you're going to have cables. You're going to have to have people going in and out all the time to maintain it. Unless they put
that's their plan too, though. Like they want to create jobs, and like this is they have a factory built in New Jersey already to care for these wind turbines. Which buying parts.
Right.
The government buying parts from this private company. Right.
But I could tell you, here's my thing: we're going to subsidize this heavy, and that's your taxpayer money. You could open up easily a plant that burns natural, gas. And don't have to subsidize it a penny because they'll make money. We have the resources here. I don't want to say coal, but then a nuclear power plant. I mean, nuclear is there's no energy. There's no what do you call pollution, and we have the rods. So
you risk having a Godzilla at any point.
Nah, with this stuff, I tell you right now, the stuff is very safe. It's a lot more safe than it was. My point is that this reeks of what's the word I want to use? Payola, pay for play, whatever.
I thought you were saying peyote.
No.
It's like,
no,
how do you know what peyote just like, smells just, like?
Listen, if you look at solar, solar and wind is great. It's a good supplement. You know, if you really want to put the solar, the windmills, put them down in the marshes down there. It's not going to hurt anything. I mean, it's just as, you know, it's a lot easier. And it's going to destroy the look of the Jersey Shore. And I think it's those things are going to get old fast. They're going to rust out there. I mean, if you guys live in Seaside Heights, I mean, the houses there deteriorate so quick because of the ocean air. That's a rough environment. I just think it's a dumb place to put them. And, even solar farms, we're good. But, you know, in the summertime, I mean, in the wintertime, 4:30, it's dark, you know. So this, and I don't know how much wind's out there, but, they say about 16% of the time the windmills work. Anyway, so this Cape May, just to answer this. So Cape May and County, and who else are putting a stop in it?
Cape May County and the City of Ocean City are delaying the permits.
Yeah. They're not going to have, I don't think, you know, unless the state of New Jersey, you know, EPA or something, they're going to go ahead and do it. And it's going to be, I think it's going to cause more environmental damage then it stops, and you know they're looking at this big global thing. But anyway, what do you think about it? Anything else? You know, like against it, for it? You think it's a great idea?
I don't know. You know, it's a tough one because it's really easy to attribute all these marine mammal deaths.
Forget about if it wasn't
to the survey. Well, I mean,
if it didn't kill any whales, you know, going forward, what about it? Do you think it's going to kill whales in the future or birds? Do you think, you know, birds fly into that thing?
I don't know.
I think you have to like take these kind of things and think hard about them and study them and talk to the right people.
I think nature will eventually adapt. Yeah, I think nature will eventually adapt to these solar farms being there. I don't think that's the issue. I mean, right now the whales are dying because they have to do the survey, allegedly. But yeah, no. It's just more like
this is
very expensive, time consuming. There are maybe some deaths happening in this situation.
I would write a letter, send an email to that company, say, listen, how much oil leakage?
I bet you they won't respond.
Because these things use oil and there's hydraulics and stuff, and they leak all the time. I was watching that show. What's that show? Dirty Jobs.
Damn. Great show.
I was gonna say, what's the Duck Show? Are you a Duck Dynasty fan, Cash?
No. But I was watching the show Dirty Jobs, and they were showing the maintenance crews who go into these things, into these windmills. I mean, and it's like oil all over the place. I mean, there's a lot of work on these things. It's great. It's gonna create a lot of jobs, but we could do other things to create jobs too. And I think it's going to be a big impact in the environment out there. I think it's going to dirty the water, pollution. You're going to have to put these cables in. I just don't see it as a good thing. But anyway.
This is a little bit off topic, but, you know, we're kind of talking about, like, the debate surrounding this issue. I watched a video today about, I think it was ancient Persia and how they settled debates, and they would talk about things twice.
Mm-hmm.
They would do it once sober, and then they would get absolutely hammered and talk about it, because the sober conversation would reveal, rational thought and valid insights.
Yeah.
But then the drunk conversation would get emotional, and you need to balance those two things in order to come to the right decision. So that's how they would figure stuff
out. That'd be great if Congress did that. Like, imagine, right? You know, you bastard.
Well, and then also there's evidence that like the ancient Romans were spiking their wine
with what?
Ergot.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
So I'm revealing myself as a Rogan fan here because he talks about this a lot.
Just now you are?
Yeah, but they found residue on the vases that they kept their wine in.
What is that? Is that ergot? Ergot is like a
LSD? Fungus. Pretty much, it's
a hallucinogen. Yeah,
it'll grow on like grain plants, and then when you go to process them and make bread or whatever out of them, they'll like make you hallucinate. And they used to do that in like political meetings. They would put that shit in their wine in Rome and make decisions that way.
Well, look at the American Indians; they smoked a peace pipe. You know,
they were
getting stoned out of their
mind. Look how we've come full circle.
So when you talk about Sean mentioned another thing is that the Belmar. Which is another beach about 10 miles, 15 miles above us. they wanted to put these G5 towers, and they
I heard a lot 5G.
Got it,
I heard like an astounding amount of towers.
Yeah, every block. Yeah. Here's the thing about 5G.
This is Cape May.
Belmar.
They have them.
RA.
They have them.
I hate that place.
Me too.
They
that's because you never get in.
I never get in Bar A.
Yo, catch. We have gone to Bar A as a group. We used to go for my birthday every year. We were like assholes. We would rent out a party bus and take Bar because one of our friends' families owns a limo company. Mm-hmm. We take the party bus. Mm-hmm. But we've gone like 5 times. I think Sean's got in once.
I've never tried to get in when I wasn't 21, too. Just like not having 2 IDs. You know, this ID is not a duplicate. This ID is a duplicate. Like just like every reason.
Yeah, it's almost part of the experience at this point.
It's me having to like walk 30 minutes away from Bar A waiting for a ride.
Where do you go to the boathouse or whatever?
No, I literally just like I call someone that I know. I'm like, hey, can you pick me up? Yeah, Bar
A. It happened again.
Man, that's terrible.
I hate Bar A.
Well,
all right, we got to wrap it up.
Let me just talk about the 5G towers. See, they have them in Lavalette. They have them other places. What's interesting, I had one of my patients who works, was it AT&T?
Yeah.
And
they're upset that it's gonna it's their view.
But listen to me. He told me, he says, it's terrible. This is what he was telling me. And I didn't notice. He says, there's a lot of problems with that. The technology's not that great. It's not that – it's spotty. It doesn't go through building. It's a whole big thing now, you know?
Yeah.
And so I don't know how much of it is you know, the AT&T pushing. Now, here's another thing. Here's another big corporation trying to impose their will on local people. The local people don't want it.
Yeah.
Just like these windmills. The local people – I think if you look at everybody in the shore, they don't want it. Now, maybe the governor wants it. Maybe the federal government wants it. But, you know, again, local people don't – and nobody voted. Did you vote on – I didn't vote on windmills. Nobody voted on windmills.
So, I didn't,
you know, No, so I think it's, you know, it's one of those things. But 5G is a little bit shaky. But I don't know where it's at. Is there anything in the news that they're getting in?
I see the signs, and I've talked to people that I know are renting in Belmar.
Yeah, it's gonna. They'll put them right on the beach, like right on the near the boardwalk. It's gonna look like shit. But they are around. Lavalette has them right in front of their headquarters. It's low. They could put them low. And they supposedly, you know, there's a controversy. It's a different signal. It's not the same as 3G.
It's better, supposedly.
Well, better communication, higher information flow. But supposedly, some people are concerned about it. It affects your brain.
They think that about Bluetooth and everything now too.
I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Not that I believe that, right? But isn't it kind of wild that, you know, whatever, these companies can just start putting up towers that shoot out frequencies or whatever, setting up pipelines that can leak into your backyard. All the food in the grocery stores, it's got some kind of poison in it. And we have no choice. What am I going to do? Go set up a homestead?
I'm going to tell you guys.
We knocked down Paradise and we put up a parking lot.
Shut up. I'm going to tell
is
you
that
guys.
John Mayer?
It's Bob Dylan.
That's Bob Dylan.
I'm going to tell you.
John Mayer sings that, right?
I don't think so.
That was Counting Crows. But before that, the song was Joni Mitchell. Let me make a point about this.
I know my shit.
You know your shit. Yeah. You know, you talk about all these things about kids and microwave and Bluetooth and all that. I you got a guy running right now, Robert Francis Kennedy Jr.
Yes.
And I read his book. And talk about it. I don't want to get into it.
I know you read his book.
Did you read his book or did you listen to it on audiobook?
No, I actually read it because somebody gave it to me for a present. And I want to tell you something about what he talks about all this stuff. And, you know, like kids are getting like, you know, 45 injections.
Let's be careful here because this is something that will get us taken off of YouTube.
But I want to just make a point, though. You know, it is interesting that, you know, we have so much autism. We have
we've really derailed.
No, this episode's getting taken down.
It is past. Say whatever you want.
I'm just saying that the food, you know, the microwave stuff. I wonder if it's affecting, you know, the kids and going.
We can speculate.
Okay, I don't know. We're pundits. We're a pundit. This is an opinion show.
I may or may not agree with something you're about to say, but.
All right, I'll keep, you know.
Every podcast that guy's been on over the past.
You know what, though? But you know what? You know what? Here's the thing. Isn't this terrible? You guys are younger than me. Isn't it shitty that we have to watch what we say? We're supposed to be living in the United States. I mean, First Amendment.
But for all intents and purposes.
It's not like we're slandering anybody.
I'm agreeing with you. But for all intents and purposes, we're not doing this in a public space. We're doing this on a private company's platform.
Well, maybe they shouldn't be. Maybe that they should take
right,
that private.
Like
we should have the federal government regulate the internet.
No, we should
make our own Twitter.
Yeah, no. Bro. We should call it Reds.
They just came out with one that's called Threads.
I know.
Oh, you're being good.
Life no, LG.association just joined Threads if you want to follow us.
Hey.
But, and,
Join the discussion.
Right, right. Anyway, I understand what you're saying, Sean, but the other side of the coin is when they do become the public square, then the First Amendment should be applied. You got to remember, the First Amendment is only for government. They can't take that right away from you.
Well,
I don't want to get into that.
How does a private space become the public square? It's definition a private space.
If it becomes a monopoly, you know, if
it's not a monopoly.
What's going to happen?
But what you're talking about right now is very unprecedented.
We have Threads. Right. We have Truth Social. We have, I think there's Mastodon. Twitter. Right.
But do they
have Instagram? Facebook? We have YouTube. Yeah,
do they have equal? Does Rumble have equal access?
It has equal access. It doesn't have equal people using it. But people, you know, I buy.
I heard Rumble's the place to go for like the wacky.
I heard Rumble's pretty sick now. Yeah.
So let me make one point about you talking about
another thing. Cashman was right about.
No, you make things about you talk about.
He's been on a roll the past two episodes.
But you talk about monopolies. When you had Standard Oil, right back in the day when. You know, Standard Oil was the main.
Are you Roosevelting us right now?
No, but listen, okay. I want to make a point about monopolies. When you talk about, you know, and whether or not YouTube, Facebook is monopolies. But the government has in the past, and this is in the 30s and 40s, broken up big monopolies. What happened was Standard Oil was so big, they monopolized everything, and there was no competition. They broke up that company, and they turned into like five or six different oil companies.
And they made whole new deals.
I understand that. Listen, there's been back in the day when I was a kid growing up in Bayonne, there was electric trolleys all over the place. Well, like they have in San Francisco. All the cities had them. Elizabeth.
That's right? Public transportation is one of the biggest failures.
You know who got rid of it? You know what happened? General Motors, Ford, Chrysler went in and bought all those companies, destroyed them, and put in polluting, gas-guzzling buses. And we've been down that road before. Anyway,
we need to end it soon. But bad public transportation is 100% one of the biggest failures that we've allowed in this country.
What else do we have? We got anything else?
Orcas are attacking people, and sea lions in LA are getting aggressive and biting people. We might need to push those to next week, though, because we're running out of time.
Do you think it's tainted blubber? I mean, what are they eating?
There's an algae, right? It's an algae bloom. The exact name of the algae is escaping me, or it's a bacteria inside the algae.
Pseudonychia.
Whatever that is. And what happens is the fish eat the algae, the seal eat the fish, and it causes the seal to act more aggressive. So they're advising that anyone on the beach in LA to avoid coming into contact with the seals.
All right, good.
I think that would be a standing advisory anyway, case. Good, but there, there's like several incidences of them biting people.
I want to make a correction to our 4th of July day. The number of missing children.
Let me guess. 45.
Rob told me 56. Yesterday 41.
Damn,
I thought it was 31.
You're off by 10.
So we had 41 missing children 4th of July day. And again, I'll reiterate. In front of my stand, I had two. One was 4 years old. The other one was three. The girl who wound up in La Valette was 8 years old. She walked all the way. That was a mile and a half. And
she's just getting her steps in for the day.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, some of these beach patrols, they have one or two lost kids and they lose their minds, you know. And we like that's
honestly, if they're like I know, you know, SHBP, we like to we're pioneers and we're a working beach and we're so great. If there's one thing we can I would never make the statement like we'd roll up to a tournament and even get third place.
Right, right.
Not happening.
But
if there's one thing we are the best at, it's finding lost kids.
Or lost parents.
All day long.
Listen, we have
all
the children. No, but here's the thing,
this.
Though. Really,
we do this.
We have the children. It's the parents who are lost, if you think about it.
Well, sometimes it's both.
Yeah.
But you actually, scratch that. It's always the parent who is lost. If your kid is not with you, it's your fault. Be better.
Right, right.
We're not babysitters.
Yeah.
And your kid can't swim, so you need to be at the waterline.
And these kids are 3 years old, 4 years old. That's what cracks me up.
Yeah.
So I had I was talking to another beach patrol, and they're getting all bent out of shape because people are getting a little more militant. And what's happening is, and this is this beach here, the houses on the board on the beach are like $7 million. So people are renting out for $10,000 a week, you know, maybe $15,000 a week. And they're on the beach. And what happens is these people, they lose their kids too. But what happens there is they're going up to lifeguards and yelling at them, telling them, you guys suck. I want the water cleared. I think my son is, you know, drowned or something. And, you know, it's an interesting thing. It's becoming, like, we have dealt with it for, you know, 30 years. We all handle it. You know, we watch the water. We really are proactive when it comes to if there's a gullies and big waves. We pull the little kids away. So, you know, we feel very confident that a kid's not going to be drowned, you know. And if somebody's lost, they're on the beach somewhere. And so we have a good record. But a lot of these beaches, you know, the people are getting more militant. I guess maybe because of the internet, they're more aware. But what do you do? Like, what do you do when somebody comes up to you, Sean?
I think people are just more willing to, are just more aggressive now and quick the point and just overall less happy than before.
But think about it. That's a tough thing for lifeguards to deal with, especially if, you know, you're a 16-year-old kid or a 17-year-old kid and somebody's yelling and telling you that their son is in the water. Yeah. And they want you to go, you know, start doing rescue stuff. It's a tough one. Anyway, 41 people, and we everyone was found, and we were happy about that. And but you got to be careful with the little young kids. What was the other thing I wanted to talk about? Was a statistic. That was it. We had a big crowd that day. We had, I'm estimating at least 30,000 people, maybe more, on that 4th of July weekend.
All right, we gotta wrap this up. Follow, subscribe, all of that. At LG Jot Association, that's our Instagram, and now our Instagram Threads account. Join the conversation. Dr. Catchmar at iCloud.com. Send your emails. We love getting your guys' emails. Also, lifeguardsoffduty@gmail.com. And hit up Dr. Catchmar if you need your foot reconstructed, because he's the best in the area.
Foot and ankle. Yeah. And we take care of tumors, too. Yeah.
And thank you again to our friend Michael for reaching out with that email and get in touch with us. We definitely want to talk and have you on the show.
Yes. Those guys do a great job up there. Thank you, everyone, for listening to us. We'll be back next week. And follow us. And please, on our favorite channel, YouTube, like and subscribe. And we're on Rumble, too. So go to Rumble. We like Rumble. All right, guys. Take care.
Stay out.
Stay alive.
Stay out.